Hello and welcome everyone to episode 2 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast. I am Adam Sokol with Team Overdrive, and I am joined today by our host once again, Jill. Jill, just in case people missed the first episode, you want to kind of give them a quick spiel on what this podcast is, who you are, and why we're chatting today.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm one of the staff librarians here at Overdrive, and we decided that since we spend all of our time talking about the books we read, and we read a lot of books, and we talk about books a lot, we wanted to kind of take the conversation out and share it with everybody else, including all of you fabulous listeners listening to this podcast right now. So for each episode, we will talk about, it'll be me, and I'll be joined by two of my fellow staff librarians and maybe other Overdrive staff members as well. We'll talk about books we've recently read. We will offer personalized book recommendations, and then we'll talk about all the forthcoming and pre-pub books that we're super excited about.
And if I had a way to describe the episode you're about to listen to, it would be in which our heroes show off their range. Our professional book nerds today talk about everything from Shakespeare and Jane Austen immediately to the Avengers and saga and comics within like 5 minutes. So you're sure to, you know, enjoy this a lot, and if you want to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter at OverdriveLibs. Let us know what you're reading. We'll give you guys some recommendations based off that, and enjoy episode 2 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast.
Everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast presented by Overdrive. I'm your host, Jill. Today I am joined with my fellow staff librarians here, Kristen and Liz. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you guys excited to talk about books?
Always.
Yes,
always.
That's my life.
I know. I don't think people really understand how much we read and how much we talk about books all the time.
Yeah.
And well, I think they do because I force them to talk about books when they don't want to.
Like, you think after a while it get really old, and it just never does.
Well, there's always new books.
That's true. What it is. It's always
so true.
So what have you guys been reading lately that you're excited about or have read?
I'm actually right now in one of those lulls, which is kind of nice, but then it gets me all jittery, like, oh my gosh, what am I reading? But I did just finish Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I hope I said her name correctly, which is a couple years old now, but was just amazing. It was one of those books that's been on my to-read list for forever, and I just thought it was going to be like extremely literary and highbrow, and I just thought it was fabulous. I chewed on it for a while and would love to buy a copy and own it myself.
That's saying something. Like, that's a,
that's a commitment.
That's a commitment.
Yes. Yeah. There have actually been a couple of books this year that like I want to buy and read through again and underline and, you know, make all your little notes. Or get it from Overdrive and, you know, make those notes yourself.
That's true.
You can always do that. But I thought this story was really great. Story of, at the center, it's a love story of the main character, Ifemelu, I think is her.
Ifemelu. So I listened to the audiobook. That's how I know.
See, she knows.
That's how I know. It's Ifemelu and Ubinze.
Oh, well, yeah, that sounds so much better than what was in my head.
Well, the narrator just had the most beautiful voice. Like, she was just a lovely narrator. I can look it up right now because I listened to it through Overdrive. So, hold on just a moment.
Yeah, I wonder if the author read it. Because I did listen to a couple of interviews that she did, and she just has a very melodic voice.
Okay.
But, so, yeah, the center is this love story, and it's really about how the two characters kind of fall apart and go their separate ways. She ends up immigrating to America, thinking, you know, it's going to be this great land. And she's a really charismatic, very go-getter kind of a character. And she comes to America and loses herself a little bit. And then he ends up immigrating to England, and he becomes an illegal immigrant over there, and it's about his struggle there, and then they both end up moving back to Nigeria.
Wow.
It was a fantastic story about immigration and race and love and maturing.
Sure.
Yeah. Really, really fabulous.
I loved it too. I really did. And the narrator for the audiobook is, let's see, Adjoa and Doe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's it. So, it was
lovely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, narrators seriously make the book.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Speaking of really good narrators, so Sir Neil Gaiman, he doesn't actually have the Sir title, but I'm going to give it to him.
We should just give it to him.
Let's write the Queen a letter. But he's just so fabulous. I finally got around to listening to Fortunately the Milk, which is a children's book he wrote, and he also narrates it. And it was just so flippin' adorable. I just loved it. There's this line in there, and it's about this dad who's going out to get milk for his kid's breakfast, and it's taking him forever. And so he comes back, and he relates this, like, absurd tale to his kids about all the things that happened on his journey to get milk. And he ran into some aliens, and they wanted to redecorate the planet, as happens.
Naturally.
Yeah. So one of the lines was, "We like plastic flamingos. We think they are the highest and finest art form that Earth has achieved. Also, we are going to replace the clouds with scented candles. We also like decorative plates."
I like all those things.
I can't really fault them for that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yes, Sir Neil Gaiman, every single day. You can just, please read to me, sir. Wake me up. Read me books. Put me to sleep with your delicious literature.
I mean, he's very supportive of libraries and librarians.
Yeah.
He's like totally on our side, which is awesome. Not that anyone's like really against us, but you already know.
Anyway, sorry. I've been talking a while. So.
Okay. What about you, Liz? Have you been?
Well, I just finished yesterday, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Okay.
I wanted to be part of the zeitgeist because I know the movie is coming. And, it was very interesting. I don't actually know how I feel about it. I enjoy, like, the absurd kind of, like, inserting zombies into, you know, what is considered to be a pretty, like, you know, like, easy piece of literature. When I say easy, I mean, like, nothing, there's no great tragedy, there's no adventure, it's just kind of like
cozy.
It's just kind of like a tale of real life. And then you
add, you might describe it, like, you know, like the paintings. And
it was like a literary equivalent of those thrift store paintings that artists buy, and then they paint in like sea monsters or Star Wars machines or things like that. I don't know how I feel about it, because part of me really thought it was fun, and like I'm like, well, you know, 15 years ago, this is aging me, would I have appreciated the zombies more because I didn't enjoy the story of Pride and Prejudice as much, because it was a little too boring for my action adventure fantasy science fiction desire. And or would I appreciate it less because all of the little, there's a lot of in jokes, like
so if you hadn't, if you like weren't familiar with Pride and Prejudice the original,
would I appreciate the in jokes, because there's some really good in jokes, like for example, I hope this isn't a spoiler alert that much, but Charlotte, you know, who we all know marries the dreaded cousin, Mr. Collins, who's very boring and awful.
Yes.
The reason why she marries him in this book is because she has the zombie plague and she only has a few months to live. Let's just say that Wickham gets his just desserts a little bit more than he did necessarily in the original Pride and Prejudice. So, I mean, it is pretty interesting. And I have one last thing to say about it, and that it was kind of clearly adapted by a man, because there are also some, like, innuendo type humor that are completely clean if you don't get it. Like, you know, this is still completely appropriate for teenagers
This is a total adult fiction for teens kind of book. And there's nothing dirty in it, but it's definitely got some jokes and innuendo that I would consider to be from more of a male author than a female author. And Jane Austen is so, such a female author. It was also very interesting. Like, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
You don't know how you feel about it.
I'm still thinking.
That's okay. That's okay.
So, and then I'm currently listening to The Gap of Time, which is a modern retelling of The Winter's Tale by Jeanette Winterson. It's part of that Hogarth Shakespeare series. And it's really good. So far, the audiobook is pretty amazing. It's got three narrators, and the story, I'm only a little bit into it, but the story starts as soon as the shepherd, a.k.a. Shep, in the new book, finds the abandoned baby, who is, I can't remember her name right now, who is the daughter of Hermione and, Shakespeare names are tough. Yeah, I'll get back to it. But, which is kind of sad, because, it's that right before that scene that has that famous stage direction in The Winter's Tale, which is the exit pursued by a bear. Mm-hmm. So far, no bear. I'm a little sad. I was kind of hoping for a bear. But I'm really interested to see where this book is going to go, because I really like Shakespeare a lot, and I thought the ending of A Winter's Tale was not that great. I'm like, what's going on? Did she fake her death? Was she turned into a statue magically and then reanimated? Or is just kind of like, was, the lady at the end who was like, let me, I'll just, she'll step down and you'll be with each other. Like, what was that? Like, what was that? I just don't know how to deal with the end of A Winter's Tale. So I want to see how Jeanette Winterson kind of like, retells this.
Because this is like a whole series too. Mm-hmm. Would series be the right word?
It's
a collection.
So. Yeah, there's
where there are sort of modern authors are readapting.
Yeah, there's like Shylock is the retelling of The Merchant of Venice. Right. And then there's one called Vinegar Girl, which is the retelling. I'm assuming by the title is The Taming of the Shrew, but I'm not sure.
Oh, that would make sense.
Hold on, let me look. It's on my Goodreads to read list.
This would, when you think about it, this would actually make kind of a cool curated collection.
Oh my gosh.
To have the original Shakespeare with
the retellings, do it together.
And those teen series that are like in text messages. So there's
The TGYL.
My personal favorite, Macbeth hashtag killing. Love it. This one is definitely the Taming of the Shrew is the Vinegar Girl. Okay. So
that's funny because there are actually now modern retellings by a bunch of different authors of Jane Austen's works as
that is true too.
Emma just came out with Alexander McCall Smith, the guy who does the Woman's Detective Agency, number one women's detective agency. I know. I haven't read them yet, but one of these days I'll get around to it. Just add it to my stack.
Actually, also, I'm kind of a lull. I go through this where there's so many books I get overwhelmed and I can't pick something to read. So I'm kind of struggling with what book to read right now. But I did just recently finish Fangirl. And from episode one, I talked about reading Carry On. And so this is thing before that. And they're kind of connected in a little way. I think pairing them together. And I'm glad I actually read them in the order that I did. I'm glad I read Carry On first and then went to Fangirl. Because I went into Fangirl having an understanding of this book that's being written within the book that, is sort of vaguely mentioned in very sort of little small chapters or little excerpts. And I totally understand what's going on. So I'm glad I read it in that order. So that's what I most recently read, and I'm still trying to figure out
what happens now. Where does life take you from this point?
Where is my book choice from here? Well, that's good. This works though, because our second segment is, of course, reader recommendations. So maybe we're going to be better. That's not necessary. But moving on then. We do our reader recommendation segment now. So who wants to start with their fun? Who has a challenge?
I'll go right ahead. I'll just hop on in there. Yeah.
Awesome.
Actually, one of our colleagues has a brother-in-law who she says, according to her, has no reading taste.
Yeah.
So he's not a big reader. But because she buys books for all of her family every year, for the Christmas holiday. I love that. I think that's great. Support the book industry. But she wanted to get him something. And so she was asking around and she asked, she said he's a single father with two young children. So he doesn't have a terrible lot of time. A lot of times big books will put him to sleep. So he wanted something to keep him, you know, his interest. He enjoys Star Wars, Psych, and Jessica Jones, along with superhero movies, things like that. So my head went straight to graphic novels because I'm a giant fan. After having some very good friends, you know, kind of push me into it, I've become a really big fan of comics and graphic novels. So as far as the Jessica Jones and superheroes go, I thought that some graphic novels and comics that went really well with that were Velvet, Black Widow, and Hawkeye. And Velvet is kind of, actually, it's a little bit of like a Mad Men spy kind of a
that
thing.
Sounds like
blood. And it's the main character is this like kick-ass woman. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that word. I'm sorry. Kick donkey woman. She is awesome and it's really fun to read. Black Widow obviously is an Avenger, but this is her adventures outside of the Avengers sphere, and she's another just really mysterious character.
Yes.
She has a past that's very dark, which is why she's now trying to make up for it. So she's just really fun to read. And again, just kind of a scary person if you get on her bad side. And then Hawkeye, again, is also an Avenger. And he is kind of the, like, oh gosh, a little bit goofy, a little bit of like the bumbling guy, but not really. He knows exactly what he's doing. But he's just kind of like your average Joe who can kill you from very far away with arrows, whatever. So that's just like really humorous, really fun. And then as far as Star Wars go, I thought Saga, which is such a huge hit right now. I can't remember. I'm blanking right now on the author of those, but they are, if you're into Star Wars and you haven't read these, if you're into graphic novels, if you're a human being and you haven't read Saga yet, I highly suggest doing it. It is space opera, but it has such a human story about a family who the mom and dad are on, they're on two different sides of this like galactic war that's going on. And they fall in love and have a baby and have to run from basically both of their sides. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan, and then the artist is Fiona Staples. The art is really brilliant as well. So that is just fantastic. And then I thought, again, since he has two young sons, he might want something that he can read with them. So the Darth Vader and Sons, have you guys...
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. It's Darth Vader and Son, and then I think there's Darth Vader and Daughter, and they're these just really cute books that are meant for adults, but are definitely appropriate for children as well. And they're just kind of comic, really easy to read, along with All My Friends Are Dead. It's the one where it has like a dinosaur on the front, just a very cartoony dinosaur, and it goes throughout it, and it's like, all my friends are dead, like, no one's here, and it's kind of morbid, but it's also really funny. So those are quick and easy ones. I thought they'd be good presents.
Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, it's good timing too.
Perfect timing.
Liz. Okay, well, I work primarily with schools, so I actually, at parties these days, I end up chatting up my friends' kids with books and how they're reading more than my adult friends, because I just am so much more in the juvenile young adult.
I mean, that's a good way to sort of take the temperature of what's being read and what's popular.
That's how I discovered the Looper Chronicles, is my friend Jamie's teenage daughter, Christina, recommended them to me.
Oh, I still need to read those.
Oh, they're so good.
And I just have one thing to say about the Looper Chronicles, Winter came out recently.
Yes.
And
the last in the series.
The last in the series. So now you can go through and read them all.
I prefer doing it that way.
Yeah, and then Aiko, who's like a side character in these books, deserves her own novel. I love Aiko. I love her so much. Anyway, so this recommendation is going to be for my friend Megan, who has who has a son who's just graduated out of the leveled readers, and he's ready to start just kind of reading quote-unquote normal chapter books for kids. And but he's a little lazy, and he definitely does not like reading books that don't have at least some pictures in them, and maybe preferably one picture every page or every other page, because then he's like, oh, you guys have to read that for me. I can't read it. He gets so tired. It's funny. You know, I'm like, because he's, you know, he's pretty young.
Does he have a fainting couch?
Oh. I'm so weakened by all the reading. I have this.
Yeah, so these are my recommendations for him who's just stepped out of the leveled readers. My first one is Olive and Beatrix, which the first book in the series is The Not-So-Itty-Bitty Spiders by Amy Marie Stableman. And this book is about twin sisters, and one is a witch who uses magic, and the other one is a scientist who uses like science experiments.
Ooh.
And together they solve their problems using magic and science. So it's a really good fantasy book that also slips in a little bit of that STEM information early on. So I really like that.
Does the M in STEM stand for magic? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
absolutely. Awesome.
This book,
yes.
Yeah. So, or STEAM, if you're an arts person, go arts. And then the second book I was thinking was maybe Alvin Ho. they're very funny. They're told in the first person. And they're a bit like a younger wimpy kid. So the book booked on her son is, he's only in first grade. He's just a very strong reader, though. And so Alvin Ho is going into second grade. So this is a really good book, you know, for somebody who's around the same age as him. And it also features a diverse character. It's always good to point that out because we need more of those.
Yeah.
And then my last book is a bit of a stretch. It's a graphic novel called El Defo by Cece Bell. And it's about a differently abled girl who has to wear hearing aids that connect to a machine around her neck. And the story is kind of like how she became hearing impaired, and then what it was like transitioning from a school of students with the same abilities as her to a public school.
Oh, okay.
And kind of like learning how to make friends at that school, and it's told in a comic book, graphic novel kind of way, and I feel like that would still, he could still do that. Maybe in another couple of months, but I feel like that's a good stretch.
Yeah, that's a good, I think that's a good, stretch or transition.
Yeah. And it also, again, it's a differently abled character. It's always nice to have that. So these are really good books to kind of like, you know, it's a good way to teach, you know, you get some good lessons in with exciting books. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are my recommendations for my sons, my friend's son.
How did Defo win an award? I feel like
it did, absolutely. Let's see if I have a list of where it is. It was probably the Caldecott.
I keep seeing that one. It's so cute. And I started reading it a couple of times. Just an adorable book. Oh, and the main character's bunny.
Yeah, so, always good. And it's very, you know, reminiscent of, I can't remember his name, the Aardvark. Remember?
Arthur.
I was thinking, I just said Alvin Ho.
Arthur.
Yeah, so if you loved Arthur, I feel like these illustrations and characters will kind of give you a little piece of that.
Yeah.
And the illustrations are by an artist named David Lasky. And then I didn't mention this before, but Alvin Ho is by Lenore Look and illustrated by Liyuan Pham. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it won a Newbery.
Awesome. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, my book recommendation is also a Christmas present situation. He buys his sister-in-law a book every single Christmas, and he needs help trying to buy her this one.
Mm-hmm.
He had previously bought her Rebecca last year, which she loved.
Definitely.
That was my recommendation. See, so I'm good on this. You should buy her that. And then The Paris Wife had been in probably the previous year. And he also mentioned that she liked Gone Girl. So I was like, okay, well, Rebecca and Gone Girl both sort of, like, Rebecca sort of gets into that kind of marriage thriller, you know, from a sort of gothic romance perspective. So I definitely would say she had to run the girl on the train, which is, you know, sort of the big,
It's everywhere.
Yeah. I'm sure she has run it, but on the off chance that she hasn't, that's a good one, I think, from the marriage thriller, of which there are many out there.
There are lots of those books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like a big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage thrillers. And then since she enjoyed The Paris Wife, Paula McQuinnet is the new book from Serving the Sun that came out.
Oh, yeah.
This year. So, she liked that author. And then on the Gothic romance with the Rebecca, it is in some ways a retelling of Jane Eyre. I'm always about the classics. I'm like, you can get someone to read a classic novel that they maybe haven't read before, kind of, you know, like The Pride and Prejudice, Jane Eyre, and then The 13th Tale. It's an older book, but it's one of my favorites, and I think it combines a lot of elements of, like, the Gothic romance and weird stuff going on and relationships, and so those would be my recommendations for, for books.
Yeah, this sounds fun.
I know, I'm excited. So we'll see. We'll see what he picks in here.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're shopping with him.
You should buy her this book.
And then this one.
And then this one.
I could never be like just one book.
Yeah. I know. Well, I think he might have, I mean, he might have bought her. I don't know. I know he did give her Rebecca last year, and I don't remember when he gave her The Paris Wife. But those are my recommendations for the good book recommendation segment of our, and on, like, again, like with The Marriage Dealers, I just think that's like stuck in my brain. But that's like one of the recommended lists we have
on the Yeah, I was gonna say that one's out there in most libraries, I think, of collections
of those types of books. If you like, you know, The Girl on the Train or Gone Girl or any book like that, there's lots of books that are very similar.
Go check your library's Overdrive site
and see if they have anything. Okay, well, it's that fun part where we can talk about now all the books we're looking forward to reading.
All the books.
This is where it gets, like, so overwhelming because, like, there's the books that are already published right now that I want to read, and then there's still books to come. And I,
oh, man.
It's like a never-ending list.
I did it as just books to come.
That's fine.
That's how I took it.
That's fine.
And actually, I was reading the first one I'm going to talk about, American Housewife by Helen Ellis. I had started reading, and then I left my nook at my sister's house.
Oh, no.
And she lives 6 hours away from me. So I'm like, no. So this is why I'm in a bit of a slump, because I'm like, all right, I guess I'll find another book.
Were you reading it? Was it an advanced reader copy?
It was. Oh, yes. Yes. So I can't even get it from anywhere else.
Yeah, you can't just, like, you know, desperately read on your phone, which I have done many times.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, just download it again or open it in a new.
Right.
You know, could read and be like, I'll just read it.
Yeah, I kind of screwed myself there, but it's 100 pages long. I should have finished it in an afternoon, and I didn't. But it's a series of short stories, about, I think it's all from women's perspectives.
Okay.
And they're just kind of these, like, fun romps into the lives of women with some quirks and sinister twists and some subtle, social commentary in there.
Okay.
But, it's just, you know, I was reading one story, that's about a book club, and, you know, it's written as if it's from, this one woman is talking, and obviously she's having conversations with different book club members, but you only hear her side of it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so she's introducing a new member to all the women at book club, and like, oh, these people over there do this, and oh, if you get in with us, you'll be taken care of. And then the ending has this very unexpected twist that was like, it completely threw me off, and I just loved it. So I was really enjoying that book, and then I left it at my sister's.
Oops.
Yeah. But the other one I'm looking forward to, I think it's the last in a series that I have just loved. It's the Fairyland series. This is a children's book series. And this book is the fifth in the series. It's called The Girl Who Raced Fairyland All the Way Home. They all have these, like, exceptionally long titles. This is by Catherine M. Valente. And so it's about September, who's in the first book, a young girl. I think she's like 12, 10 or 12. And she ends up getting taken away to Fairyland. And Fairyland is not like all cupcakes and magical happiness. There's all sorts of things that are happening with the ruler of Fairyland. And then the second book is about like the Shadowlands down under. And then this book is about the main character who ends up becoming like the Empress in the last book.
Okay.
And so she doesn't want to be the Empress. So she has to try and find someone else to do it.
Okay.
And they are just very whimsical. When I tell people about them, I always say they're a combination between Alice in Wonderland and like the Wizard of Oz. Just very much the clever, witty dialogue. And I would highly recommend these. I think they're good for adults. I think they're really good for high-level readers in middle school or, you know, high school. Or even, you know what, if you have a high-level reader in elementary school, I'm sure you could hand this off to
them. Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited for that one.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Those sound good. Mm-hmm. Are you excited about Liz?
Well, I'm actually, again, in a bit of a lull. This fall was a very big deal to me. I felt like I spent this entire fall on tenterhooks waiting for all these books to come out.
Right.
And then it was just like all this gratification of like, yes, finally, I got to, you know, winter finally closed up, the Lunar Chronicles series, and Paul Murray's book came out this fall, and he is one of my most favorite authors. If you haven't read any of his stuff, he's only written two other books, Skippy Dies, and An Evening of Long Goodbyes, which was his first novel and my personal favorite. And then Gail Carriger finished up her most recent series this fall with her, which was the Finishing School series with Manners and Mutiny. So, but she has one more coming out of her third series, which is the Custard Protocol. In case you don't know, Gail Carriger is a big steampunk author. So,
okay.
You know, she's very much a humorist. I know that she has cited P.G. Wodehouse as one of her influences, mm-hmm. who I also really enjoy. And, they're hilarious. She has built a really interesting universe. All of her series take place at different times, but are all in the same universe. So you, because they are, they're basically like, they're Regency London with vampire werewolves and lots of steampunk and
okay.
like, you know, silly words like fisticuffs and dirigibles and all that like fabulousness that comes with the steampunk and, you know, the absurdity of it. And she, so her, her third series, called The Custard Protocol, the second book, is coming out this spring. So that's been pretty exciting for me. Next week, this book called Illuminae by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff is coming out December 8th. So you guys know, it might be out by the time this podcast, it's probably going to be out by the time this podcast gets released. But this one's really, really, really interesting. It's pure science fiction, and it features a girl computer hacker who is like one of my catnip baits.
I love it.
Yeah, like, well, you know, I'm Veronica Mars diehard,
sure.
And Mac was clearly one of the best characters.
Obviously.
Yes. So I have a little blurb. The year is 2575, and two rival mega corporations are at war over a planet that's little more than a speck at the edge of the universe. Now, with enemy fire raining down on them, Katie and Ezra, who are barely even speaking to each other, are forced to evacuate with a hostile warship in hot pursuit. And the entire book is a combination of all this multimedia stuff. So it's hacked documents, emails, maps, files, IMs, medical reports.
Wow.
So I don't know how much of it is actually written and how much
right,
it is just kind of like you have to read between the lines and read all these.
It sounds like House of Leaves.
Invented documents.
Yeah,
so it sounds really, really interesting.
Really.
And it has received pretty much all the star reviews.
Yeah.
All right. As far as
writing
as
that one down.
All the star reviews. So this is going to be pretty interesting. And it's a teen novel. It's a young adult novel. That's a lot of what I read just because, you know, working with schools, gotta know the stuff. And then my other book that I basically freaked out in my cubicle when I heard that it was in existence is Ali Brosh's new book, Solutions.
Mm.
And Other Problems.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
You are reading my mind. I was going to write it down, but it doesn't come out until what, like the summer?
October. It doesn't come out until October.
I have to wait a year.
I don't care. I want it so bad.
I know.
if listeners don't know who Ali Brosh is, Ali Brosh is the author of Hyperbole and a Half.
Oh my gosh. Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
The blog, the amazing blog,
yes.
And then also it became
Look
a
it
book.
Up.
And if you haven't, if you have never read or heard of Hyperbole and a Half, but you've seen that meme of the girl holding the broom.
Read all the books.
Originally called Clean All the Things, and now it's an All the Things books. That's from Hyperbole and a Half, and I highly recommend.
Go find it on Overdrive right now.
It is so good. And yes, we do have them both on Overdrive. Both the Solutions to Other Problems, even though it's not coming out till 2016, we have it available on pre-order, and I double checked to make sure Hyperbole and a Half is there. And it's
Excellent.
Because it's a
graphic.
I can't wait for that.
So
awesome. I'm super excited for that. Mm-hmm. I know it's a little early. I'm jumping the gun, but
that's
just
okay. No, you're so excited. That's the fun part.
Yep.
Yay.
I'm pretty sure when I figured it out, I announced it on Facebook, and it was basically like, guys, new book, Allie Roof, new book, OMG, new book. With lots of exclamation points in between.
It's understandable.
That's good. I need full sentences with you.
No, totally not. Full sentences are totally optional in those instances. So there's two books that are coming out, obviously. That's why we're doing this segment. Okay. So the first one is In a Different Key, The Story of Autism by John Donovan and Carrie Zucker. I did actually read this. I got an advanced reader's copy for it. It is so incredibly well written that, you just, it's just the history of autism. I will say that, like, they go into a lot of the treatments of it, and as if you know anyone who has a child who is autistic or who is autistic, reading the, some of the older treatments, it's difficult just because some of the older treatments were maybe not, they're still trying to figure things out. Right. That section is very difficult to read, but just in general, the book itself was very informative and well-researched and presented a well-rounded point of view regarding autism and, say, the vaccine issue. Like, there was no obvious bias.
Okay.
I guess what I'm trying to say. Or they at least try to present, you know, both sides or where both sides are coming from, which was good. So I definitely recommend that for anyone who maybe has, like, an interest in medical history. And it was written in a way that it doesn't feel, I mean, it's nonfiction, it's a big book, but it doesn't feel overly academic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read it pretty quickly. And then the other book is The Lost Tudor Princess, The Life of Lady Margaret Douglas by Alice Weir. I love Alice Weir.
I was going to say she's like a Philippa Gregory read-alike.
She is. Yes, Gregory takes a lot of historical license with her books.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Alison Weir is an academic first and a nonfiction writer and historian. So her books, she sometimes takes a little license, but she will admit to that in the acknowledgement section.
Is this a fiction?
This is a nonfiction book about Henry VIII's niece. I believe that is, yes. And so I love all of Alison Weir's books. And so I'm super, 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 super pumped for this one.
Oh,
I go, like, Tudor history crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's such a huge genre.
People, oh, my gosh. There's so many books.
They're
so non-fiction,
crazy.
Fiction.
Yeah.
Everything is out there. I should totally do a whole list of Tudor books.
You should. Yep.
Also a good curated list.
Mm-hmm. That is a great curated list. Mm-hmm. Tudor. Yeah, mm-hmm. Tudor history books. So, all right, then. Well, thanks, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have you had fun?
Yeah.
Always. And I hope all of our listeners enjoyed what folks are talking about. And
can they write in if they have, like, recommendations
that they'll need
or if they, like, we read some of those recommendations and they're all like, hey,
that would be awesome.
Hey,
too.
You didn't say this and you should have. If you guys know of anything that we didn't say that we should have, please find us.
Yes,
stop
definitely
us.
Or name pronunciations too.
That too. We might have butchered those.
We might have, for which we have apologies, but yeah. So, okay, well, thanks, and happy reading, everybody.
Bye.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from Overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.